Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come into your presence once again in this sanctuary, we want to pause and say thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your watch care over our lives. Lord, you've been so good to us. And we just want to say, Lord, as our Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and give you the glory and the honor. And just let you know, Lord, today that we love you, we adore you. We thank you, Lord, for our salvation, that you were so faithful when we were unfaithful. You were loving when we were unloving. And you were forgiving when we were unforgiving. And so, Lord, we come today on this first Sunday of the new year. God, we come pleading with you to forgive us of our sin. And Father, we just want to ask you for your mercy and your grace once again in our lives, that you would bless us today, Lord. That, Lord, you'd pour out your blessings upon us individually, collectively, Lord, as a church family, that you would bless this great church. Continue, Lord, to help us to walk faithfully before you. And Lord, you've provided every means for us to live righteous. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior and our King. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, the living Word and the written Word, that, Lord, we can be obedient to you in this new year. And I pray, Lord, today as we cross over into this new year, that you would upgird us and help us and strengthen us, Lord, to be your children. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful and so good. We love you, Lord, and we want to praise you and just say, Lord, thanks for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Stacy Wolf. If I could sing like that, I would. Amen. I'm telling you, that is just awesome. Well, we're glad you're here today. Happy New Year. Amen. It's a brand new year. We got all the ball games behind us. There's no other games. All the games are behind us, so we can start fresh and anew. Amen. Got all of that over with. Amen. And somebody says, well, I think there's another one. Well, I'm moving on. Amen. But anyway, I'm glad you're here today. I want you to know this is a brand new day and a brand new opportunity for all of us. And the first Sunday of this new year of 2013 to not to make resolutions, but make commitments, new opportunities and new possibilities for all of us. And so we all make New Year's resolutions, and I've heard a lot of New Year's quotes. I'll give you a few of those. One of the pessimistic quotes came from Robert Clark. He said, I would say Happy New Year, but it's not happy. It's exactly the same as last year, except colder. And by the way, it probably will be here tonight and tomorrow. An optimistic New Year resolution came from none other than Brad Paisley, when he said, tomorrow is the first blank page of a 365-day page book. Write a good one. Start it off and write a good one. Then a serious resolution quote came from G.K. Chesterton when he said, the object of a new year is not that we should have a new year, but rather we should have a new soul and a new life. And so I hope that we'll make those kind of commitments. Well, it wouldn't be a new year without New Year resolutions if we didn't make those dietary plans, right? And so I'm sure, as I am, a lot of you are thinking about your weight and losing weight, right? Got on the scales the other day and he said, one of y'all need to get off. So it told me something, right? I got the message. But this is a progression, use a progression of New Year resolutions. In 2010, we said, I will get my weight down to below 180 pounds. 2011, I will faithfully follow my new diet until I get below 200 pounds. 2012, I will fervently develop a realistic attitude about my weight. 2013, I will religiously work out 3 days a week. And then this year's resolution, I will seriously try and drive by a gym at least once a week. And that's just about the way it goes, isn't it? Frank went to the doctor. And he said, "Doc, you know, I'm concerned about my weight." And the doctor said, "Well, Frank, I got good news and I got bad news." He said, "Well, what is it, Doc?" He said, "The good news is your weight's perfect." So he looked kind of puzzled and said, "Well, Doc, what's the bad news?" He said, "The bad news is you're about 8 foot too short." Those doctors can be encouraging, can't they? And then here's a New Year's prayer for all of us senior citizens, for those of you who fit that category. "God grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked anyway, the good fortune to run into the ones that I do, and the eyesight to tell the difference." All right, enough of that. I want to speak to you today on a subject I believe God's impressed on my heart, the crossover. I want to talk to you about the crossover. 2014 provides for you and I an opportunity to cross over from one year to the next. And so we come with anticipation and excitement and even enthusiasm as we approach this brand new year to cross over from one year to the next. And so the nation Israel did the same thing, in essence, when they crossed over the River Jordan. Moses was dead, and now it was Joshua's turn to lead the nation of Israel across the Jordan, where? Into the promised land, the land that God had promised them, the land flowing with milk and honey. So naturally, they're excited about it. They're about to cross over the River Jordan, and we're about to cross over and have crossed over to a new year. So I want you to look at that. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. And some of you have read Bible. How many of you have a read Bible? R-E-A-D, right? Hope you're reading your Bibles. Hope you have a read Bible and hope you're reading your Bibles or your iPads or whatever it is that you're reading for your spiritual intake. I pray you'll read it and read the Word of God. You know, we got devotional books. We got all kinds of things to help us in reading God's Word. And so today we're going to read from Joshua chapter 1, the book of Joshua, if you will. And I want to read beginning with verse 1 of chapter 1. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant." Now, he was Moses' right-hand man. You remember the story? And here's what he said in verse 2. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people of Israel, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun, which will be the west, shall be your territory." Notice verse 5. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. Be strong, Joshua, and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance up to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go," or be successful, some translations say. Verse 8, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Oh no, he'll never let go. Amen. Verse 10. "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So here we have the account of the children of Israel as they're crossing over from the wilderness. Now remember, they've been wandering for 40 years. Their servant Moses, the leader, their leader, the man of God Moses is dead. He didn't get to go over, remember? God took him on the mountain and showed him the promised land, but he chose Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Listen to this statement that I wrote. I want you to follow with me. Today, you and I, individually and as a church family, are standing once again at the crossover of another new year in 2014. We're standing at the door, the crossover of change from 2013 to 2014. In this crossover, we come to this point of our journey, contemplating a new year of new opportunity and new assignments. Many approach this new year of crossing over with caution and anxiety. Why? Because as a whole, we're afraid of the unknown. We really are. We don't know exactly what lies ahead, although we do approach this crossover with a challenge of our vision for the future, because we know where we've been in the past. And so, like the nation Israel, we stand at the crossroads and the crossover of our Jordan. Will we face obstacles and opposition? Oh, yes, we have experienced them in the past. Will there be avenues of possibilities and opportunities? Certainly. But only if we have the courage and the faith to trust and pursue whatever our God has promised us. As God spoke a word of challenge to his servant Joshua, our Lord speaks to us today. He speaks to us today, just like he did the nation Israel, just like he did his man Joshua. Look with me in verse 8 once again. Verse 8. The book of this law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on the book, the Bible, day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Are you successful today? Are you prosperous today? I'm not talking just about financially prosperous, but is your life prosperous? Are you living, as John 10:10 would say, are you living the abundant life? And the question would be, if you're not, then why? And I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you faithfully successful in prospering in your intimate relationship, if you will, with the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you're not, maybe because you left the book or you're not in the book. And there's going to be trials and tribulations to every one of us. I'm not even talking about that. But I'm talking about having a successful relationship with Jesus Christ. And then whatever comes, whatever trial, whatever tribulation comes in your life, then you can handle it because you have the power of God in your life, because you have the Word of God in your heart. And you're meditating day and night on the Word of God. And then when adversity comes to your door, you say, oh yes, I read about that. I read about Joshua. I read about Moses. I read about Peter and Paul. How did they handle adversity? The same God that they had is the same God that I have. Same God that you have. He'll help me through just like he helped them through. So if you really want to be prosperous and have a successful Christian relationship and intimacy with God, get in his book and learn about him and walk with him and let him help you and experience the power of God in your life. It'll help you through any situation. And so as we approach this, as Israel did, we need to be mindful that God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be successful as a Christian. He really does. Rick Warren said something very interesting concerning New Year's. Rick Warren said this: New Year's is a time of problems and new pressures, but also a time of new possibilities. Amen? Aren't you glad that this year has afforded you a new year of new possibilities, new goals, new challenges in your life? Optimistically approaching this new year, what does God have for me? What can I do to glorify him and serve him? And so, just like the nation Israel and Joshua, you and I are to pursue God and pursue his word. Now, Think about this. In 2014, you and I are standing today at the crossroad as we cross over. We've just crossed over from 2013 to a brand new year. Think about it this way. It's a new beginning. 12 new months, 52 new weeks, 365 new days, 8,760 new hours, 525,000 new seconds, and 31,536 new seconds. Every one of those are a gift from God. Amen? Every one of those are a gift from God. The air you're breathing right now, the second you're just going through, every second is a gift from God. It really is. It's His gift to us, life and life everlasting. So, as we cross over, I'm going to give you two things today, and I'll continue this next Sunday. But I'll give you the first one I want to talk about is the preparation. The preparation. Now, if you're going to cross over and you're going to have a prosperous Christian life, then you've got to prepare for that. It's just not going to happen. Believe me, it's just not going to happen. God's not going to wave a magic wand over you and say, poof, you're changed, everything's going to be hunky-dory. You've got to prepare to receive God's blessings. And so Joshua was prepared. He was prepared to lead the nation of Israel. Now, in verses 1 through 3, we see how God favored him because he was faithful. God just didn't pull a name out of the hat. This man was a great follower, therefore he became a great leader, because he had been following God through the hard times, the difficult times, and now he becomes the leader. Moses was God's special man. We know that. God chose Moses, and now Moses is dead, and Israel needs a new leader. And so God raised up Joshua. He's the number two man. Moses was the number one guy, and here comes the number two guy, and he's following Moses. Now I want you to turn to Numbers. Turn back to the left. Numbers. And don't you look in chapter 27. Go past Deuteronomy and you go to Numbers. And look in chapter 27. One of the things that we do here at Lindsay Lane, when somebody goes on a mission trip, we commission them. We just commissioned Drew Bowman this past week. Drew Bowman's one of our, came out of our youth. He just finished college. And now he's going for 1 year of his life. He's dedicated to going to 12 different countries, I believe 11 different countries, 11 or 12 different countries around the world and serving the Lord. So a year of his life is just dedicated to nothing but serving the Lord. So we commissioned him last Sunday. And so we commissioned people. Here's Joshua's commission. So if you'll look in Numbers chapter 27 with me and look in verse 15. Numbers 27 verse 15. Then Moses spoke to the Lord saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation." Now this is Moses praying to God. "Who may go out before them and go in before them. Who may lead them out and bring them in. Then the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." Moses was concerned about the people. And in verse 18. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Well, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit," capital S, Spirit of God, "and lay hands on him." Lay hands on him. And in verse 19, "and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and inaugurate," that means commission him, "in their sight." That's why we have commissioning right here. We want people to know when you go on a mission trip, your church family's praying for you. And we do that publicly. So we want you to know that God's commissioning you. He's called you evidently. And we as a church body are supporting you with prayer and financial means as well at times. And so they commissioned Joshua. He's God's man. And God wanted everyone to know that Joshua is the man to take over for Moses. And so he commissioned him in front of Moses and the whole congregation. Moses laid his hand on him. And so the whole Israel commissioned Joshua. Why? They're preparing him. God's preparing this man for a journey. He's got a plan for his life. He was faithful to fulfill the role of being a follower of Moses, his right-hand man. And now he's become the leader. And so God has commissioned him. He's elevating him. Now, Joshua didn't push for this position. He didn't play politics. He didn't politic for it. God gave it to him. Why? Because he had been faithful, and God is prospering him to be successful. Because he's been faithful to God. And so God's elevating him. Now, something interesting I found in my study, the Hebrew name for Joshua is Joshua. And so they changed his name in Greek. And the Greek name for him is Yushaas. And then the English name for Joshua is Jesus. And so we see a typology. Joshua is kind of comparable to Jesus in the New Covenant. And see, Joshua's role is this. He's been under Moses. And now he's leading the people into the promised land. God's our deliverer through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to die for our sin. And Jesus Christ is the one that carries us into heaven because of his sacrifice, because of what he did at Calvary for us. And so the name of Joshua in the English is Jesus. And so he's a typology of Jesus from the old covenant to the new. He's leading the people in. He's delivering Israel to the promised land. And so we see this young man. And so you and I, how do we relate to this? You and I in 2014 must also be prepared. We must learn to prepare ourselves before God. See, when you come to worship, you need to be prepared to come to worship. You need to start on Saturday night. Amen? Getting ready. Lay your stuff out. Lay your clothes out. Whatever you got to do to be here on time. Can I get a witness? And be here on time. And see, you start Saturday night to be here physically. And then you begin to prepare all week in the Word of God. And you're ready for the Word of God when you come in. And when Dwayne and our great orchestra and choir stand up to lead us, we don't have to prompt you to sing. You sing because you've been with Jesus all week. Because you prepared yourself to worship Him. And you bring your tithes and your offerings. And Pastor Dusty doesn't have to pull it out of us. We give it because we love the Lord. Because we prepared ourselves to meet God here in this sanctuary. You're the temple of God. You don't just leave Him here and go home. You take Him with you. But when you come here, it's an opportunity to worship God as a church body, just like Israel did. And so you got to prepare our hearts. We can make a difference. Coming to church is more than sitting and soaking. It's got to come out. We got to express it and be involved and get involved. John Holcomb said this, "You must get involved to have an impact. No one is impressed with the one loss record of the referee." Amen? You got to get involved. You got to get involved in the game of life. Prepare yourself. Our goal here at Lindsay Lane, I promise you, as we set our purpose statement, the staff and I, we've had another purpose statement for years, and we thought about this, and we asked ourselves and our staff, we said, what is Lindsay Lane about? What are we trying to accomplish here? When all of our people come to this place, what is our goal? And this is our goal, making disciples who worship, grow, and serve. That's what we want you to be. That's what I want to be. I want to be a disciple of Christ because I'm worshiping in my growth and in my service. See, as a Christian, you just don't come as a spectator. You come to get involved. You come to see what God's done in your life and the gift that He's given you. Every one of you have a gift. And you need to utilize that for the body of Christ. And see, when you get involved, Brother Freddie, I started a new Sunday school class this morning. Fred Linder's my teacher. He said something very profound. He talked about us growing. He said, one of my responsibilities, I want to grow this class, but I want to grow you spiritually. He said, I found in my own life, when I started serving God, my relationship and my spiritual growth began to elevate. And I said, amen to that, because the same thing happened in my life. When I got saved, I just couldn't sit back and watch. I had to get involved. I wanted to get involved. And the more I got involved, the more I grew. The more I grew, the more you step out with God, the more He'll elevate you. And you get involved and you begin to grow. And then you grow through service. You grow through service. You really do. And so our goal here is to help you to get involved, to grow in the Lord and serve the Lord as you serve others. And when you do that, you'll be the beneficiary. And you'll be so glad you got involved. You really will. There'll be times of discouragement. There'll be times when people won't act right. And you know, you'll be waiting at one of the doors and somebody says, oh, blah, blah, blah. You say, I'm quitting. Don't quit. Turn them over to Jesus. Tell Jesus on them. Amen. Lord, help that young man. Help him. He needs help. That's the way you have to handle it. Now, Let me give you some growth things, because usually this time every year I'll have a statement of address to the church. And so in this message, I want to just challenge you with a few things that I believe will help you grow. We started three new Sunday school classes this morning. Three new ones. And the reason we start new Sunday school classes is the reason we start new churches. Do you know that Lindsay Lane East today, they've already averaged about 80 people, started with 8 a few weeks ago in Lindsay Lane East. Our new church plan has already averaged 80 people. That's 80 that's not coming here. They're over there. So why don't we start a new church? To reach 80 new people and more. And you start a new Sunday school class. We had some new people in our class that have never been in a Sunday school class before. We have people in a new class that hadn't attended Sunday school, but they came this morning because it's a new class. And so are you in a Sunday school class? Are you attending Sunday school? Why do you have Sunday school? To help us to learn the Word of God so we can grow. It's one of our growth avenues. So let me plead with you. If you're not in Sunday school, we have two opportunities, 8 and 11. Please get in a Sunday school class. It'll help you to grow. Amen? And so we're averaging about 850 to 900 people who attend Sunday school. Now, our role, we have 2,000. And so we got potential, hadn't we? All right. And then tonight, Life University. I know it's going to be cold at 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, it's going to snow. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to get out and play in it. But I'm going to be here tonight for Life University because it's going to help me to grow. I'm teaching a class tonight for men, the men of the Word. And we got other classes tonight. So why don't we have Life University? For our people to learn to be discipled, to grow in the Lord. And so we have Awana for the kids. They'll have 200 or 300 over there with them. And so, parents, we ask you to come to one of our Life Universities. We have 7 classes tonight, 7 new classes, that you can find one of those where you can begin to grow in the Lord. That's why we provide this, so you can grow. But you got to come back. Right now, we have about 200, 250 who attend Life University out of 2,000. And so we want you to come and we want you to grow. Amen? And then Wednesday nights. Some of you don't attend Wednesday nights. You need to come on Wednesday nights at 6:30. We have a great time. We have kids' praise. We have things for our children. And we have children's choirs, these kind of things. Also, we have a worship service on Wednesday night. Starts at 6:30. And I'm starting a brand new book of the Bible, 1 Thessalonians, this Wednesday night. 1 Thessalonians. We're starting from scratch. So this is your new opportunity to come. Make Wednesday nights part of your growth in your Christian life. Amen? By the way, what you doing on Wednesday night? Just a thought, all right? I don't know what TV programs are. By the way, we're in the age of DVR. Tape that sucker. Come on in here. Amen. Amen. I may tape the game tonight because I'm going to have laryngitis about 6 o'clock, all right? But no, I'm kidding. But you can tape things. Again, it's all about priority in your spiritual growth. It really is. So think about it. I'm just trying to help you to think. And then tithing, I'm not going to talk about that much, but I just want to encourage you to give. 80% of our church does not tithe. A tithe is 10% of your income. Well, 80% it doesn't. 20% does, according to Brother Bradley, who's over our financial. And then he reported this at the church forum. We had a church forum where we give you a lot of information, and we did. And Brother Bradley had a great presentation. He reported that 80% doesn't tithe on a $50,000 salary, 80% don't tithe. And listen to this, 30% don't give a single penny. 30%, nothing. And so I'm sharing that with you just to let you know, Lindsay Lane's a great church. We sure are not perfect. We got some growth, amen? I've got growth to do. You've got growth to do. And so we got to grow as a Christian. You know, I'm not standing here preaching a sermon today. If you've come for a sermon, you've come to the wrong church. This is a message. And one of the commitments I made for 2014, I want to be totally relevant to our church. We're going to preach where we live. We've got some issues in America that need to be dealt with from the Christian perspective, and I'm committed to it. And so you're not going to come and hear a sermon. I'm not going to give you 3 points, a prayer, and a poem. I'm going to give you stuff from God's Word to help you grow and me grow as a Christian. Because if we don't grow, you're going to fall by the wayside, I promise you. You're going to end up being a statistic. I used to. I used to be a deacon. I used to be a Sunday school class. I used to attend Lindsay Lane. I used to go to church. You're going to be in that category if you don't start growing. I'm telling you, the devil is pulling out all the stops. All the stops. And I believe this old earth's winding down, Brother Gary. I believe America's winding down. I'm seeing things I've never even thought I'd see and hear. And you are too. And so if you don't grow as a Christian, and I don't cross over as a Christian, then I'm going to be left behind. I really am. So I want to help you. I'm here to help you. So these are messages from my heart to yours. Y'all doing all right? Y'all stretch real good and say, all right, Pastor Dusty, I'm with you. Amen or oh me, right? All right, I'm telling you, we need this. I'm telling you we need it. So I want you to be ready. Joshua was ready. He was ready. He was prepared. He prepared himself. Can you imagine from Joshua's perspective? You know, he went further than Moses did. That's usually the way it goes, isn't it? He got to go further than his leader, Moses. And think about this for a moment. Think about Joshua. Now, who was Joshua? He was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was from the tribe of Ephraim. He remembered Caleb was his partner. 12 spies Moses chose to go into promised land. 10 of them come back and said, oh, there's giants. We're afraid. We can't do it. But not Joshua and Caleb. They said, yeah, we can go in there. God will help us. And so God poured out his wrath on Israel, and here's what happened. They didn't go in the promised land because 10 of them voted not to go, and the children of Israel didn't want to go. He said, all right, you don't want to go, that's all right. I'm going to let you wander for 40 years. 40 years, four decades. Can you imagine four decades? Here's Joshua.
Well, Lord, that ain't fair. I wanted to go in. Why me, Lord? Why me? Why am I suffering through this scorpions and locusts and why am I going through all of this when them old yahoos, they wouldn't want to go anywhere with you. But I wanted to go with you. Why me? Why am I experiencing all these trials and tribulations in my life? That wasn't his attitude, was it? He hung in there for 40 years. He was faithful to serve God and Moses. And so God raised him up and God chose him.
Joshua, I know you've been faithful. I know you've been faithful to me. You know, I don't operate, Joshua, in your time frame. I have a plan for your life. And I've been watching you all these years. And you've been faithful. And I want to prosper you. And I want to prosper the nation Israel. You got to remember, all those other yahoos died off. He's taking the younger folks in. And guess who's leading them? 85-year-old Joshua and Caleb. Because they didn't quit. They were faithful, as Stacy just saying. They were faithful. God's always faithful. You may not understand him. You may say, I'm going through this. I've been faithful. I do go to Sunday school. I do tithe. I do all those things you said, and I'm still having trials and tribulation. I'll just say the amen to that. I don't understand it either. But I know one thing. He's faithful. And if you'll prepare yourself, he'll help you. He won't give up on you. He'll never, never let go. He won't let go. Now, we can either sing that as a song, or we can sing it believing it. He'll never let go. And so you got to be faithful. You got to prepare yourself. He is a just God. Listen to this. I'm not even going to get to point two today, all right? But I'm going to get point one. And by the way, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to preach 45, 50 minutes. 50. I may say 45, but I'm going to try to be quick. I'm going to try to let you out on time. But I want to give you good stuff while we're here so we can grow. Now listen to this. Here's a great truth in your outline. If you don't listen to young people, listen to your pastor. I'm telling you, this is going to help you, young folks. Your pastor loves you. You know that. Can you get an amen from the young people over here? All right. A little bit. One more time. All right. Did y'all hear that? These are our young folks over here. Now listen, here's a great truth I'm going to give you, and I'm going to say something about it. I want you to listen to this. God never wastes your past or your experiences. I'm going to say it again. It's on the screen. Leave it up there for a moment, Daniel. God never wastes your past or your experiences. That's the neat thing about God. Boy, some of us are just so bogged down by our past and our experiences that we can't move on. We can't go forward. I got good news for you. All of us have been there. We're all there. We all got skeletons in the closet. And so, but God never wastes your past. He never wastes your experiences. He'll use them for His glory. Whenever, wherever, whatever you've been through, you may not understand it. You may not know why it happened. But I promise you, God will prepare you for such a time as this. Listen to me very carefully, very carefully. He'll use your abortion. He'll use your divorce. He'll use your addiction. He'll use those things. He'll use your affair. You may not believe that, but He can use that. God can do that. He'll use your past. He'll use your miscarriage. He can use it. He never wastes your past or your past experiences. If you'll trust Him and give it to Him, He never wastes it. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I've been married 16, divorced 16 times. He can use it. Only God can use that. Amen. He can use it. Now, Pastor, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, let me give you a verse of Scripture. The first verse of Scripture I ever learned in my life was this one, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. By the way, I've crossed over. I've crossed over from my past to my future. That's where I live. I live right here in the present. I don't live in my past. I know what I've been. I know what I've done. I was addicted. I was a hellion. But God hadn't wasted it. I'm the pastor of Lindsay Lane. Think God's wasted that? Heavens, no. My marriage with Patsy was on the rocks. God didn't waste all those fights we had. He used them for His glory. Promise you, whatever you've been through, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, God won't waste it. He'll use it. That's why you need to be in church helping others. I've had several ladies in our church said, Pastor, I've had an abortion. I'm so sorry that I did that. But you know what? I can't go back and unscramble eggs. But Pastor, if you ever have a young lady come to your office and say, oh, I'm under such guilt about my, I'm having to have an abortion or whatever, send them to me. Send them to me. Because God doesn't waste my past. He'll use it for His glory. I want to give you, you say, give me an example, Pastor, a biblical example. Can you give me any biblical example? I sure can. Many. One of them is Joseph. You remember Joseph, one of the sons of Israel? He didn't do much wrong. Matter of fact, he was God's baby boy. Israel's boy. He favored Joseph. But his brothers didn't like him. They were jealous of him, beat him up, did those bad things that older brothers do to their younger siblings, like mine did. Amen. They did bad things to him. Even tried to kill him, threw him in a pit, left him for dead. So that's a bad thing. How in the world can God do anything with that? Well, He made him second to Pharaoh over all of Egypt because of it. Amen. Don't you listen to this verse of Scripture. Don't miss this. Listen. Genesis 50:20. Mark it in your outline. Mark it in your Bible. Whatever you got to do. Here it is. It's on the screen. This is the Bible says this. But as for you, you meant evil against me. What did God do? But God meant it for good. You meant it, Joseph said, God, you meant it for evil. Now all his brothers are to him there, and they've all come to, they're starving to death. They've come to the Egypt, and Joseph stands for it. Joseph said, listen, guys, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people's lives. God, in that adversity, in that tribulation, God took that young man, and he could have said, God, you're a mean God. I've been so faithful, and here I am in a pit. He said, no, he stayed faithful, and here he was, king over Egypt, and saving all the Israelites from the famine. He said, y'all meant it for evil, guys. I forgive you, because God meant it for good. You know what that means? It's in your outline. Here's the meaning of that. Only God can take your lemons and make lemonade. That'd be worth remembering. That's worth coming this morning, isn't it? God can take your lemons and make lemonade. He wants to do that in your life. You may not believe that this morning, but I promise you it's true. God will take all of your sins. He's forgiven them if you'll trust and believe Him. And then He'll take your past. He'll take the guilt away. And He'll take your past and use it for good for others. My wife and I have had tremendous opportunities to counsel to younger couples. Matter of fact, I've had some couples in my office recently who I personally got to share with them about something that I did long ago that I'm very ashamed of. But I told them about my situation, and they're sitting there saying, "That happened to you?" Yes. And if God can forgive me and put me behind a sacred desk, then He can forgive you and help you in your marriage as well. And I'm telling you, that's why you need to be in church. That's why you need to be gut honest. Take your mask off. Get that religious mask off. Be who you are. Come clean with God. And then you can help others. You'll be able to help others with your past. I mean, those things you did, you can be able to help others. I'm telling you, that's just the way God works. And so there it is. Next week we'll talk about the promise and the presence of God and maybe some of the problems. But I'm going to be true to my word today. I'm going to close right now. Man, Dwayne's in shock. Somebody revive Dwayne. Get the smelly salt out for him and revive him. It's 10:35. But I believe I've said what I needed to say at this point, because I've given you a lot of stuff to digest this morning and to think about very seriously. Okay? Very seriously. We need to think about these things. Now, Israel crossed over. Now, next week I'll tell you about the crossover, how they came to the Jordan River. And man, what's on the other side? 31 kings, 7 nations, and giants as big as telephone poles. And that's what we're crossing over to. Well, 2014, there may be some giants. There may be some kings and some nations come against us. But I'm going over with God. How about you? I'm going over 2014 with God. If God be for us, who can be against us? In Christ Jesus, we're more than conquerors. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. So I'm going over not only with God, I'm going over with confidence. Joshua went over, he crossed over with Israel with confidence in God. And God made him successful. And I'll show you that next week, because he claimed the promise of God. And next week we'll talk about that. But this week I want you to think about your life in 2013. I want you to think about where you've been, what you've done, and this is a good question, have you grown? Have you grown from your experiences? Are you still committing the same old things you've always committed? When's there going to be a change? When are you going to change? Well, I'm just trying. No, you need God. You can't do it. You can try all you want to. I found that out from personal experience. I tried. I couldn't do it. But when God started doing it, when I got out of the driver's seat and let God in it, then things began to happen. And what did I do? I just humbled myself. I came clean. God stripped me of any ounce of pride in my life. Stripped me naked. And that's where I met Jesus, and He began to build my life and grow me and allow me to preach to others and use even the trials and the tribulations of my life to help others. He'll do it for you. I promise you, He'll do it for you. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. And He'll make your lemons lemonade. That's a good news, isn't it? That's good news. Let's pray. Father, as Stacy was singing, "Great is Thy faithfulness." Oh, Lord, it spoke to me. I just begin to reflect about how faithful you've been to me, how good you've been to me, how you've blessed me. And Lord, I was a hellion. I've done some things that's just so ungodly, but you forgave me. It was hard for me to forgive myself, but when I realized you forgave me, then I forgave myself and started a new life, crossed over. In 1979 of October, I crossed over. I've never been the same since because I met Jesus. And Lord, even through my past, you've been glorified because, Father, you've used those things for your glory. The devil meant them for evil, but Lord, you've taken them and used them for good to help others. If we'd only trust you, if we'd only obey you and your word, meditate on it day and night, you can help us to live a prosperous, successful Christian life. Doesn't mean everything will be just rosy, but it means in the end, we'll go to heaven to be with you forever. And Lord, on the way there, you'll take all of our problems and our trials and use them to minister to others. I thank you for Lindsay Lane. I thank you for this great church of people that you've assembled here in this place. And now I'm praying for this invitation. I'm praying for those who need to come clean with you once and for all and just say, Lord, I need you in my life. I've shut you out. Oh, I've been religious and I've been to church, but Lord, I've never had an intimate relationship with you. I've never come clean and just be who I am and allow you to use me and clean me up for your glory. I pray you might come today and say, Pastor, I want to be right with God. I really do. I just want to get right today. I want to come clean. Some of you need to do that. Some of you need to come and just say, Pastor, I know this new year, there's some changes I need to be making in my life, and I want you to come and pray or pray at the altar. I just want to recommit, if you want to call it that, but to make sure it's not the first commitment. I just want to commit to you, Lord, my life. Some of you need to come and join this church. This is the church God's led you to at Lindsay Lane. We want to help you grow and serve here. And then some just may want to come and pray for others, maybe for circumstances. And let's talk with God. God, hear our prayer, O Lord. We're in your presence. We're your people. We ask your blessings as we cross over that we'd prepare ourselves today for the promises you have in our life, for the plan you have for us, that this very day, this very moment, will be a preparation time for us to really do business with you and allow you to use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? Would you come? If God's speaking to your heart, you need to make a decision. Come on right now. As we sing, you come. Just like you are. That's the way he wants you. Just like you are. He'll accept you. He'll accept you just like you are. But he won't leave you that way.